With my newfound perspective, I think a year ago I would say to make enough money to like to survive and do music for your job. It sounds super corny, but like, and cheesy, but like just to connect with somebody who loves your music. Like that's the one thing that like sustainably satisfies an artist. Like at least me, I think, is that human connection. And it's kind of like the point of art.
This episode is brought to you by Band Zoogle. From garage bands to Grammy winners, Bandzoogle powers the websites for tens of thousands of musicians around the world. I can tell you firsthand, Bandzoogle is awesome. I've been using them for years. I've built many, many websites on Bandzoogle. It's super simple. You don't need any coding knowledge, graphic design knowledge. I'm actually a really terrible graphic design artist. I'd like to think I'm okay. I'm decent. I have Photoshop and, you know, I've designed my fair share of show posters over the years. I should not have. I'm not a good graphic design artist. I know my strengths and weaknesses. Anyway, Bandzoogle, you don't need any of that. You can be a horrible graphic design artist like me. You don't need any coding knowledge. I know very, very, very basic HTML that I learned about 15 years ago. I can still design kick-ass websites on Bandzoogle. They also have a bunch of other cool features, like a way to create an EPK. You can host and create your custom domain name. There's tools to sell your music and merch. It's all commission-free. There's a mailing list. There's social media integrations. They have a crowdfunding feature, which is very new and very cool. They have a subscription service, kind of like Patreon. Also, all commission-free. If you want to try out Bandzoogle, you can go to bandzoogle.com. Use the code Ari, that's just A-R-I, my name, Ari, for 15% off the first year of any subscription. But you get a 30-day free trial to just give it a go. Try it out. What's going on? Welcome to the New Music Business. I'm your host, Ari Herstand, author of How to Make It in the New Music Business, the book. Today, my guest is the artist known as Rit Momney. No, this is not the senator from the great state of Utah. This is the 21-year-old whose birth name is Jack Rutter, and his artist name is Rit Momney. You might know him or his song. It was that blew up on TikTok in 2020, end of 2020. Put Your Records On, the cover of a Corinne Bailey Rae song. And it turned into a deal with Disruptor Records, who's under Columbia. We talk all about that, the deal structure, what that entails, the reason he signed, how these major label deals are actually looking very, very differently these days, which is very encouraging. If you guys hadn't heard about the news of what Sony Records is now doing, where they are wiping the debts of all of their legacy artists, any artist that signed to Sony Records across the board and all their subsidiaries prior to the year 2000, they're wiping all of their debts. So no longer can they say they're unrecouped. They're going to be getting paid royalties from here on out. Sony's doing something right in the major label world and making a step in the right direction. Of course, Columbia is under Sony. Disruptor is under Columbia, under Sony. Not to say that Sony and the major labels, they don't have a lot of skeletons still in their closets that they definitely have to reckon with. And not to say that they don't still take advantage of artists, because they completely definitely do. But that all being said, is artists have a lot more clout and negotiating power these days, especially in our DIY landscape. Jack talks about how he put his song out through TuneCore independently, and he can make 100% of that money. And I was crunching the numbers, and his 345 million streams that Put Your Records On, that's over $1 million that he could have made by himself. So I asked him the reasoning for signing it over to Disruptor and Columbia. he had great answers. And honestly, this was a really wonderful conversation. We talked about perspective. We talked about numbers and how he approaches social media, TikTok, all of that stuff. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. You can follow Rit Momney on all the socials. You can follow me at Ari Herstand on Instagram, Twitter, and you can follow all of us at Ari's Take on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Of course, visit aristake.com. Get on that email list. That email list, it is not too archaic. This is where we send out all the most pressing information. And please like, subscribe, follow this show. However you're listening to this right now, just pause it real quick. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. And if you're listening on YouTube, hit that up thumb and leave us a comment. I'd love to hear what you think about this. And please head over to Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star review. That really helps. All right, let's kick into the show. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so are you, I heard you moved out to LA, but are you back in Utah now, or where are you right now?
Yeah, I'm in Salt Lake.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in LA for like almost a year, but like 4 months after moving there, the mm-hmm. pandemic started. So it was like, I don't need to be here right now.
No.
And kind of, it was just not the best place to just be living by yourself. Like,
where were you living?
I was in like the Highland Park area.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really like. That area is awesome. And now my manager still lives out there, and I'll go out there every once in a while and stay mm-hmm. in his apartment, and he lives like right around where I was living. So
Highland Park's coming up, man. It's like, yeah. It used to be, I live in Los Feliz, so it used to be kind of mm-hmm. Los Feliz, Silver Lake, Echo yeah. Park, and then the artists kind of kept migrating as they got priced out. It's now Highland Park is kind of the where most of the artists have kind of resided, and that's what's coming up right now. And
yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, the hi-hat soul, or I mean, you know, a lot of venues were changing hands over the pandemic, and the hi-hat sold, but I think hopefully it's going to stay a venue. I was just at Highland Park Bowl. That's like back up and running. Did my first post-pandemic bowling game over there nice. On, I think it's on York or Fig. And yeah, it's a nice neighborhood. That's cool. So your manager, Jake Walchek, is that right?
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
I was looking in your backstory. He's from Madison. I grew up in Madison. And so
hell yeah, cool.
I'm like, oh man. I was like stalking his all of his socials. I'm like, oh man, is that Mickey's Diner? I'm sure he's listening to this right now. So Jake, you're gonna we'll have to go get a spotted cow sometime on the terrace. How did you guys meet? Yeah, I know exactly. How'd you guys meet?
So he literally just cold emailed me out of nowhere one time, okay. like a long time ago. He was like, Hey, like, I know you have like no reason to trust me or anything, but like, I'm just like a kid. I'm really passionate about like artist management. I'm trying to get mm-hmm. a foot in the door. Like, I'll manage you for free. And I was like, okay, why not? And like, I just like gave him like a couple things to do, and then within like a couple months he was like full on my manager and awesome. Just like doing it for free for like a long time. Like, I'm paying him now that I'm yeah. getting paid, but
right now that you're making now that there's money to be made,
yeah,
you're right, you can start sharing a bit of that. Cool.
Yeah, no, but he's great. He's awesome.
Nice. So how long has it been with you two?
Good question. I think maybe like 2.5-3 years.
Wow. So were you still, was it just you? When did the band Rit Momney officially kind of disband versus, and then you kind of took over the solo project?
Good question. That was, it was, I guess, right after I graduated in 2017.
Graduated and, high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody was pretty much just leaving that summer from the band. Okay. So
where were they going? They just
on missions. Yeah. Like half of them went on missions, half of them like went to college. And then project kind of just sat there for a year, and then I started releasing stuff like as Rit Momney. But yeah, so it's been a while.
So I'm curious, when you were just kind of releasing music and Jake hit you up, were you seeing much traction? Were you getting some Spotify love, or kind of how did he find you?
It was like, so the first song I did by myself was that I like released through Ritmomani by myself was Something in General. And that one, like, it was like, it got put on Bedroom Pop, like right after Bedroom Pop, like the playlist like showed up.
Yeah.
And when it was like Flamin' Hot Cheetos, Claro stuff.
Right.
And like the heyday of Bedroom Pop, I guess. And that was huge. It wasn't like huge. It was like, I remember having like 100,000 monthly listeners for a while on Spotify. Wow.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, and it was like literally just because of like that playlist, pretty much.
Who did you distribute through that song? Who'd you use for
distribution? Just like TuneCore.
TuneCore.
Yeah. That was a good time. I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting how you just immediately adjust to the situation you're in. Like, it was like, wow, this is like a dream come true when I was like at that level.
Yeah.
But there were also feelings of like, oh, I'm such a failure. Like, I don't have enough like monthly listeners. And now I have those exact same feelings. Like, and I'm in such a different spot. So
you're at 7 ride. Million monthly listeners for people that aren't currently on his Spotify profile. Right. Isn't that interesting though? How, and I think it's a really good thing to highlight and remind you and everyone of is that it's all perspective. You're always going to be seeking. There's always another level that we're going to be hoping to achieve. And it's really, you know, it's important in those moments to just kind of acknowledge the accomplishments and the achievements of the moment and express gratitude for what you have currently. Because like, think about yourself 3 years ago, talking to yourself now, yourself 3 years ago is probably looking up to you now and be like, yo, yeah. 7 million monthly listeners.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's right. So crazy. It's like, I mean, honestly, like the Put Your Records On stuff, like I'm so fortunate for that. Like I'm so grateful for that for a lot of reasons. But one of the biggest reasons is that I can finally like, I can really say to myself, like, if the numbers don't make me happy when they're at that level, like they're never going to make me happy. And it's like, there was definitely like some writer's block right after all of it was happening where I was like, okay, I need to like capitalize on the momentum. I need to really go for it now. This is like a window of opportunity. And then once that went away, it was just like, I need to just like make music for the music that I like to make, like for the sake of making good music and music that I love, because it's if that doesn't like satisfy me, then I'm literally never going to be satisfied.
100%, and that's so it's so incredible, and it's really great that you acknowledge that and that you realize that so early on in your career, because I know people 10, 15 years your elder who are struggling with that every day, and you know, came up in a different time where it wasn't all about the numbers on a screen. It's kind of like we're at this weird thing where because those numbers are so public on Spotify, on TikTok, on Instagram, that we feel like we have to play to the algorithm and we completely lose perspective as in like, why are we doing this? Why are we in music? Is it for the algorithm? Is it for the numbers? What are numbers? Numbers are empty, you know? And whether you're looking at numbers on a Spotify profile or a TikTok or a bank account, it's all emptiness, honestly. It's the real human connection, I think, is what we're really going for and how you can affect people with your music. But you come at an interesting time because your song, your cover of Corinne Bailey Rae's song, Put Your Records On, came out during quarantine. So you haven't really been able to kind of see other human beings' reaction to this song. Mm-hmm. How was that experience for you, seeing these numbers tick up and getting some kind of virtual reaction through your phone, but not actually being able to see any human while this is happening?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it has felt like really detached, I think. It's like, it's really, for a while, and kind of still, it's been like really about the numbers, because it's not like, that's my only way of really like seeing like how much people, it's like I'm now equating the numbers to like how much the song is connecting with people. And it's made it feel pretty mathematical and pretty like artificial and like inhuman almost. Whereas before I would play a song and I would like see people connecting to it, and I'd be like, oh yeah, this person like is telling me that like how much they really connect to this song and how much they feel it. And it's just been like none of that. And there have been some people like over the internet who have said things sort of like that. But like, even then it's like, it's not even my song. Like, I'm glad you appreciate like the production side of it, I guess. But it's like, if you're connecting to it, you're connecting really a lot more to like Corinne Bailey Rae than you are to me.
What have those messages been? Because I guess that's the closest you can get to human connection during a pandemic, during, you know, quarantine, is I suppose direct messages of their words. But what have those, have you gotten many messages? Have there been a reaction that you could feel?
Instagram DMs just like overwhelm me so much. It's like, yeah, I get major social anxiety when like I open up, like, if anybody's listening to this and I haven't opened up your DM, I'm sorry. It's like, it's like there's like the requests, like 99 plus requests, and I just like let them build up, because it's just like super overwhelming. Sometimes I'll go through and read them. I'll like force myself to read some of them, but it's just so hard to like try to deal with that. I mean, a lot of them have been like positive messages, like people just saying like, yo, your song is fire, man. Very few like actual like, hey, this song has really helped me. Or like this song like puts me in like a really good mood. And like, I still get more like my original songs that are like infinitely less popular numbers wise. I still get more messages like that about those songs than about Put Your Records On.
That must be a completely different experience to hear from someone who's resonating from your original works. And now, mind you, again, I'm gonna lay some perspective here, because you're like, they're wildly less popular, but we are talking millions and millions and millions of streams on your wildly less popular. And yes, the perspective is because Put Your Records on Spotify alone has 345 million streams, which is just like an insane, ungodly number. It's like you can't even comprehend that. That's about the number of people in the United States. Like that. Yeah. When you think about like every single person in the United States, as like, that's the number of streams that this song has gotten. Like, come on. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, you know, I and then there's artists out there. I mean, again, think about yourself 3 years ago. Who, when you know, 3-4 years ago, you're like, man, I got a million streams. Yeah. That's crazy on my original works. And totally. And it is all perspective.
Yeah. And it's crazy how I think of like my original songs now, like Like, I'll put out a song and it'll get like a million in 2 weeks, and I'm like, oh, that's like a flop. Oh man.
Oh my God.
Like, and it's like, and it's so stupid. It's like, yeah, my perspective has completely shifted, and it's like definitely something I'm trying to work on. And something I'm really just trying to like think less about. At this point with it, it's honestly kind of nice having that huge amount of separation between, it helps me view the Put Your Records On as just a completely separate, okay, if this next song I put out does really, really well, it's going to get like maybe 1% of the streams that Put Your Records On does.
Yeah.
So it's helped me to kind of just let it go for the most part.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a means to an end. It's like, okay, you had this little drop in the pan moment with Put Your Records On, and you know, it's because of the timing of TikTok. I mean, were you even on TikTok when the song took off on TikTok? How did that, do you even know how that happened?
So I didn't have an account. And my girlfriend like was on TikTok a bunch, and then she was like, I've seen your song like twice on the For You page today. And then I got TikTok and I was sort of like watching it. And then, this makeup artist named Ian did like a makeup challenge thing, and it turned into a trend. I think that was definitely the main thing that helped it take off. And that wasn't like all the videos. Like, there were people that probably like heard the song from the trend and then used it in like a different video. But yeah, dude, I owe Ian a lot.
Have you met Ian?
Yeah, no. So for the music video, I flew him out to LA to do my makeup for the music video.
That's awesome. That's a really great full circle moment. That's cool.
It was cool.
I love how part at the end of the music video, it kind of you're given a nod to the makeup tutorials that were happening at the end of the music video. That was really smart. And so for like those of you know the people that kind of know the story behind it, it makes a lot of sense. That's cool.
Thanks.
So there was no one pulling the strings behind, there was nobody paying Ian to use this song or anything like that. He just found it and used it, huh?
Yeah. And the interesting thing is it started doing like, okay, okay in terms of how it eventually did, it was like pretty big for me. It was like getting way more listens than any of my other songs for a little bit. And then, cause it was like 2 months after I put it out that TikTok stuff happened. But yeah, we had people like reaching out like, hey, like we see this song is doing well. You pay us $10,000. We can take it to the next level on TikTok. And we were just like, that feels kind of corny. Like, I don't really want to do that.
I mean, that is a whole industry. I had Austin from Flight House on, and Flight House is the number one music channel on TikTok, and they're an agency. They're an influencer agency, and that's exactly their business model. You pay them $10,000 to $20,000, and they have their network of influencers, TikTok influencers, and they will get them to use your song and cross their fingers that, you know, it'll, you know, start trends and get used by more people. But
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how everything is just like immediately industrialized.
It's the world we're in. Yeah, it's crazy. But it's interesting because from when did Disruptor Records approach you? When did, who's under Columbia, how did that whole process work?
Disruptor has been around like for a long time actually, which was definitely a big reason why we wanted to sign with them.
What do you mean they've been around?
We've been talking to them since like a year and a half before the Put Your Records On stuff. So that was cool. Columbia obviously wasn't paying much attention.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah, they've been great. I love them. Like you hear horror stories of labels taking over and having too much creative control over the artists and stuff. But when I was signing with them, I was I tried to be pretty clear about this Put Your Records On direction isn't necessarily the direction I'm trying to go. Mm-hmm. I can't promise you a bunch more hits this. So it was I'll give you Put Your Records On, support me with the next album.
Mm.
And just let me do what I want. And they've done that really well.
I'm curious about that decision to give them this song that was so successful, because if we're, crunching the numbers here, that's a lot of money that would come directly to you. Using TuneCore, you make 100% of that.
Yeah.
And so it's why give that to them? And I would imagine they wrote you a fat advance check. step me through that process of the decision making process of all of this and what kind of that deal looked like.
Yeah, I mean, it did kind of feel like we were in the dark, for the most part. I love having Jake as my manager because he is just kind of a kid like me, and we mm-hmm. are kind of doing this together for the first time. But if I, and we have advisors and stuff, so this isn't that big of a deal, but I guess that's why people have the 50-year-old managers who have been in the industry forever. Cause Jake and I were kind of okay, they're giving us this deal. What does this mean? Is this good? And I guess mm-hmm. our lawyer said this is a super good deal. I don't know if I'm not supposed to talk about it. I don't know if that's
an
industry
thing. You can talk about it. Please. So
it was
give me the details.
It was a 50-50 split, which I guess mm-hmm. is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. For a major, definitely. It's great.
And then I think it's only 5 years. Which was, I guess, good as well.
Do you know if it's a licensing deal, or do they own the song and in your future album?
I think they own it for 5 years.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, I try to stay out of the particulars for the most part, sure. It was kind of they were saying it's doing really well right now. We can make it do really, really well.
Yeah.
And I think they did. It just kept climbing.
Cool.
After we signed with them, obviously it's hard to tell what of that is them and what is just happening. But I mean, the way radio works, they got it on the radio and stuff, because they know people or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Is that a thing? We're from different generations. Radio was big when I was. When I was your age, but yes. Do 21-year-olds listen to the radio anymore?
I don't know. I guess
okay.
I don't. Okay. it's been interesting to when we've been having these radio discussions. It's this many people are listening to these channels, and it's wow, that's way more than I thought.
Mm. Cool.
So,
sweet.
Yeah, I mean. I don't know. I'm just kind of trusting the people around me to make the right decisions. But
that's great, and it sounds Jake's really got your back, and that mm-hmm. you guys have kind of been working together for a few years is really nice. It's nice to know that you'd been talking to Disruptor for before mm-hmm. this flash in the pan moment, before Put Your Records On exploded. So, yeah, in a 50-50 deal, that's typically an indie label deal. You don't see yeah. that too often with the majors. Is Columbia involved in other than that that Disruptor is a subsidiary of Columbia, or are you mostly working with the Disruptor team? Who are you kind of talking to on a regular basis?
I mean, Jake's talking to them.
Right.
But
right,
I'm sure that's sure. what you mean. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty actually – I think maybe we're talking to Disruptor, like,
okay,
like a little more. But I think Columbia is also pretty involved. I mean, the way they like delegate, like, obviously I'm not talking to like the president of Columbia all the time, but yeah, like, we have like,
I'm a sure their radio arm is, yeah.
That, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're pretty involved. Like, I mean,
cool.
They're as involved as like I want them to be, like the mm-hmm. way that I do like social media and stuff. It's like, not ideal money making wise. I just like don't really focus on social media and stuff, like, and they've like been sending a ton of ideas, like, here's stuff you could post, here's like some TikTok stuff you can do, that I've kind of just ignored, which I feel kind of bad about, but but they, yeah, they basically, I think it's kind of just like, hey, we're here to help you whenever you need help, but
cool.
If you don't, like, we'll stay out of your hair. So.
That is very encouraging and comforting to hear that you, as a, what are you, 21 or 22?
21, yeah.
21-year-old, don't really want to fuck with TikTok, because I can't seem to wrap my head around it. I put my 21-year-old operations coordinator on running our TikTok, because I'm just like, yo, you tell me what to do. As long as it makes sense for me, and it's like I'm not doing anything that I wouldn't normally do. If you mm-hmm. want to TikTokify it and throw it up there, cool. Yeah. But like, I have no desire. I'm not on it. I don't do it. You know, and it's like, it's. But yeah, that's interesting. So they're not like down your throats. Jake isn't be like, yo, you got to do this video where you wipe across the thing and you got to jump and point in this direction and dance to this song. And
no, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm so glad he doesn't do that. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I kind of grappling with that. I mean, definitely social media causes a ton of anxiety in a lot of people, like including mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't like, I'm constantly going back and forth between like, all right, this is part of the game. Like, this is a huge thing right now. Like, are you really going to like hurt your music career for the sake of like not doing social media? Just because it's like, it's so huge now, it feels like. And it's like, that's kind of, for a lot of people, that's kind of where they can provide a context for their music. Like, like if I was like a super corny, weird guy on Instagram, then people would see that and then find my music and hear my music in a totally different way mm-hmm. than if I'm presenting myself in a way that's like more like my music, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, it seems like these days it's a lot more about the person than about the music sometimes, which has been interesting for me to deal with.
Real quick, I want to let you know about Too Lost. Too Lost is a new distribution company to the space, and let me tell you, I am very impressed with them. I got a full deep dive demo with the founder, and yeah, they're very innovative. And when you come into the distribution space at this stage with how crowded it is, you better be innovative, and they are. Yes, they will get your music out to Spotify, Apple Music, all the places, plus 450 other outlets around the world. They do not take a commission. This is why 300,000 artists and labels have already used them. They've already distributed 7 million songs. They offer payment splitting, and they don't charge your collaborators for this service for the payment splitting. They will just pay your collaborators directly for free. They have publishing administration with BMG, so you know it's legit. A lot of distributors have fallen into trouble with using some other less than legit pub admin services. Well, Too Lost is partnered with BMG. You know it's legit. They offer instant royalty advances. This is something that's very cool. And if you have historical streaming data and you need just a bulk payment up front, they can see how much your music has earned in the past. I'm like, all right, we think we know what you're going to earn in the next 3 years. Here's a check for $100,000 or whatever it will be. And you can just click a button and get that distributed and into your account immediately. They do lyrics and credits distribution for free. They have a very innovative analytics platform where, yes, you will see real-time analytics for Spotify, Apple Music, but also Pandora, Deezer, SoundCloud, and Peloton. They're the only ones that do Peloton. They also have a service where you can search the internet wherever your music is being used, and it will just show you a chart of everywhere, every TikTok video, everywhere, every YouTube video, everywhere your music is possibly being used. I've never seen this before. That was very cool. They'll register you with SoundExchange, and they have a fraud prevention tool, and they're doing fraud prevention. So if you're worried about your music, you know, getting a bot attack or something like that and getting ripped down, which we've seen is a big issue, they have fraud prevention tools that are better than most other distributors that I have seen. Check out TooLost. You can just go to TooLost.com, use the promo code Ari's Take for 3 months free and try them out. Let them know what you think. I mean, yeah, you know, artists are repulsed by the term brand, but essentially we're all a brand online and kind of, you know, controlling that, communicating that. I feel like now the newest generation, your generation, this Gen Z gen that's kind of coming up right now is starting to, fortunately, rebel against that. I mean, you know, you see artists like Remy Wolf, who like her visual aesthetic, her brand is just like so far to the extreme of I don't give a fuck that like you have to love her for it. And, and it's like, yeah, the album art is going to be like some MS Paint pixelated neon splashy repulsive shit that's just so amazing. And the music's solid as shit and the music's great. Yeah. I hope we're getting back to an era where people actually care about the music, because I feel like the last 10, 15 years has kind of been, you know, do it for the algorithm. It started with a do it for the Vine, and then it's do it for the Gram, and now it's do it for the TikTok. And it's like, you know, I'm like, art over algorithms, please.
And that's like, and that's totally, I mean, there's like the prideful side of me is like, that's what I'm doing this for. Like, that's why I don't want to post very much and all that. But like, part of me is just like, maybe I'm just like insecure, or like, maybe it would be like, you can make that part of your art. Like, I'm sure that Remy Wolf is like, I mean, I'd imagine that it's fun for her to create this brand, and it's like,
yes,
it's part of what makes her career like really fun to do. And I mean, it's interesting to think about how you're saying like going back to just really the music mattering a lot more than like the brand. But
I mean, it's interesting because, you know, Remy Wolf is a user example as a like, she puts on this air of I don't give a fuck, but she clearly does. It's clearly still a brand, and it is, and there are a lot of, it's this interesting balance that we're at right now, because it's like people are succeeding at social media in a very different way than they did even 3 years ago. And it's, as a culture, I think we're shifting away from kind of the Instagram model aesthetic of this is what people want, into getting into more of a behind the scenes, showing a little bit more authenticity. But at the end of the day, there is nothing truly authentic about social media. It's impossible, because anything you post, you're intentionally, you're filtering it through the lens of whatever social media platform you're putting it on. Like, but people are able to kind of understand the wave of what the culture is latching onto, and then push it through that lens. So there are always going to be artists, and you're totally right. There are artists who are succeeding, and they actually enjoy that aspect of the craft. And part of what they're really good at is video editing or photography or fashion or styling or music video directing, all of that. You know, Billie Eilish directs all of her own music videos, and it's kind of like people can do that. So I think where we're at right now is like there is no real right or wrong. What is going to make the artist, what makes you most excited about running your career and what makes the most sense for you, and how are you going to utilize your strengths authentically to connect with your audience? Because at the end of the day, like, again, what are we doing this for? Like, why are we doing this to get more numbers on Instagram? I don't think so. I hope not.
Yeah, it can become that pretty quickly, but yes. I don't think anybody gets into it with that in mind.
Instagram models do, but that's a whole other conversation. That's fair. Right.
Yeah.
What is kind of the next phase for you? What is your next year looking like?
So I'm working on an album right now. Okay. Trying to finish it up in the next like month and a half or so.
How are you making the album?
Just in this studio. I'm on like a desk.
Nice.
Just doing pretty much everything in here.
Is it all you?
I've been collaborating with people. Like the first album was like, I like really cared about like, this needs to be all me. I had the live guitarist. He recorded a couple guitar tracks. But like, I was really like, okay, this needs to be me doing everything on here. And like, and I guess that sort of made more sense for that album. But like at this point, I'm like collaboration is like really fun. And it's something I've really started enjoying. And it's probably my favorite thing to come out of like the Put Your Records On stuff is like all these doors opening.
Like how did the Cloud collab happen?
That was just like, I think I had talked to their manager before the Put Your Records On stuff, but then I just like reached out to them again, like, hey, I have like this song that I think I actually we got a session, and then I was looking through like my like demos, like my half made songs and stuff, and I was like, wow, this is perfect for you to feature on. And then we were just working on it and we liked it, and I was like, I'm gonna put it out as a single.
Cool.
And they were like, yeah, cool.
Was that a virtual collaboration? How were you working on it?
Yeah, it was together. It was all virtual. I've never met them still. We have like a music video and a song together. I've never met them in person.
Did you do much collaboration other than the Claude one over quarantine?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you know Pale Hound. She's like a polyvinyl artist. She just started a band with a J-Som called Bachelor.
Cool.
It's been doing pretty well. Nice. But, yeah, I've been working with her a bunch, actually. Cool. And she's been like sort of like a mentor. It's like, it's seriously the coolest thing ever. Like for somebody whose music I like, to see them contributing to my music is like definitely my favorite thing that I've been able to do like in my music career. Like seeing like someone like Pale Hound, who I've been listening to for a really long time, that I can like be making a demo and then just be like, oh, I wonder what Ellen would have to say about this. Like, it's seriously just the most wild thing ever.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, that's the power of the hit, I guess. It's kind of it can open up a lot of doors. But at the same time, I mean, you know, it's also something that you probably felt a little bit more empowered to work with them. But at the end of the day, they're not going to put their name on something that they don't believe in, mm-hmm. and they're not going to contribute to something that they don't that doesn't connect with them, that they're mm-hmm. not connecting with. So at the end, you really have to, you know, it's going to be about the music and about the track, and if they're going to put their name on it and put their creativity on it, they're going to believe in the track mm-hmm. itself. So that's cool. What's the sound going to be? Because Put Your Records On is so drastically different of a sound than virtually all of your other stuff.
Yeah. It's so weird. I don't know why I made that song like that. I wanted to go happier, or why did the cover like that production wise. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go happier, and it ended up like way happier, like way more upbeat, way more poppy.
Happier than your music, than my not original than the music. Original. The original's
yeah, no, yeah, 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 totally. Yeah. And it was just like, it's so weird that I just have no desire to do anything like that anymore. Mm-hmm. The sound, I really do kind of just see that as like a totally separate thing from my like discography, and the sound of this next album feels more like an evolution of the sound of the first album than it would sound anything like Put Your Records On. I mean, I guess like a lot of the production techniques, like the little technical stuff, is going to be kind of the same, but I don't know if anybody can tell.
Well, because a lot of your older stuff, it's more in that alt rock realm, or it's kind of that. What's interesting is coming back around. I just had Ricky Montgomery on the show, who similarly had a couple songs kind of go viral on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Similarly, signed a deal, of actually pretty favorable. Label deal with Warner Records, a licensing deal. He was on the show, and you know, he similarly kind of that alt rock sound, that kind of that Weezer meets Rooney meets, you know, that whole thing. It's cool. I feel like it's kind of coming back around in some capacity. Is that sound, is that something that you're leaning on for this new record?
Good question. I would say maybe a little more production heavy, a little more electronic.
Okay. Like in the box stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I've fallen in love with synths since like my earlier music, and
I can see that wall of key synths right there.
Dude, right? I wish that I used any of this stuff enough to justify how much it costs.
Well, it looks darn impressive.
That's the point, man. But yeah, no, I probably a little more electronic, a little more, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. It's so hard for me to just like evaluate my own music before I have some time away from it.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you don't, you know, make what's feeling right. And I guess, you know, the beautiful era we're in right now is that you can release a song like Put Your Records On under the same project on your Spotify, and you can also release a song like Not Around and just throw it out there. It's on the same profile, the same artist. It's like, why not?
Yeah, totally.
So cool. Right on. That's great. So I am curious about, I want to get back to kind of this relationship that you have with your manager and with your label, and now you have a booking agent, you're with Paradigm, and kind of how this more music industry traditional team is starting to form. When it comes to the next year, I'm assuming you're probably having a release date that you guys are planning for. Is there going to be a tour? Are things starting to be put in motion where you're going to kind of follow this more or less traditional artist trajectory?
Yeah, I think so. Like, yeah, we've got a tour. Like, I've got a bunch of festivals like this summer into the fall, I think. And I'm super excited for those. I've never even been to a festival, so.
Oh, wow.
It'll be cool. Crazy. But
what festivals are you playing?
The biggest one is probably Shaky Knees. Cool. And like Firefly.
Nice. Are you doing those solo, or are you going to have a band with you?
Yeah, I'm going to have at least two other people. Cool. In the band.
Are those two people in the music video for Put Your Records On? Are they friends, collaborators of yours, or who are they?
They were friends of the music video people, like the Overcast team.
Okay, I thought so. I was looking at the dude who was on your pad board or whatever that was. Like, and then I went to the director's Instagram, and he's all over that. I'm like, oh, yeah. They're probably friends. It would be such a coincidence if he also plays with Jack and his band. But okay, got it.
they were awesome though.
That's cool.
Yeah, just I guess more in the actor role.
Right.
I'm so excited to play
cool
festivals and like to have, I mean, part of my whole like doing it all myself thing that I like was in for a while. I wanted to do that live too, as much as I could. Mm. So like for a while, my live show was just like two keyboards in front, like a bass synth on the side, and then like my laptop and like a foot thing for like looping, and then like a drum machine. And that was fun. I mean, it depends how impressive people think that is to like, because it was just like so low energy, you know? Like I feel like if people, especially at festivals, it's going to be like, it's going to be really fun to just like be moving around and not be like tied to, to all that stuff. And like for people to see like multiple people on stage, like rocking out and stuff. Yeah.
Were you running it through Ableton or was it?
Yeah, like it was Ableton. Looping?
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Nice. So that'll be so fun. What was your last show that you played?
I was about to go on tour with Dayglow and we played two shows in Chicago and then the rest got canceled. So
where'd you play?
At Shuba's.
Ah, I love Shuba's. Shuba's is probably one of my favorite venues in the country. This
I would say so too.
Honestly, the stage sound is some of the best stage sound, and you wouldn't expect it because it's a very, very tiny stage and you're kind of thrown up against that wall, but the stage sound is so good. The room is so warm. It's so nice. Yeah. I love that venue. That's one of my favorites in the country. The food is super good
too. Yeah.
Yes. I remember our dope Cobb salad that I got last time I was there. Right. Oh, yeah. And that green room is legendary. You don't want to hit your head on the pipes down there, but it's that's a great spot. Cool. Fun.
Yeah. No. I'm excited to get back out there. After the festivals, nice. I have like a national tour planned for like next year, like kind of early next year.
Cool.
So that'll be awesome. But yeah, I think it is kind of shaping up to be like logistically kind of that traditional artist, like building a team who I love. Like everybody on my team is awesome. And
that's great.
It's like nobody's trying to take too much control. Nobody's cool. Like everybody's working together and just trying to help me do what I want to do, which that's is great. Awesome.
That's great that you're feeling the support. I mean, it's really cool that you have a manager who you trust, who's been with you kind of from the beginning before, you know, the flash and the lights and the numbers started popping off, you know, and he's, in you, and you guys are around the same age, so that's cool that you're just kind of, you know, you see it through that lens. Well, that's great. Well, I wish you all the best luck. Hopefully, if you make it out to LA with this run of shows, I'd love to catch the show.
Totally.
And I have one final question that I ask everybody who comes on the show.
Cool.
What does it mean to you to make it in the new music business?
I would say, with my newfound perspective, I think a year ago I would say to make enough money to like to survive and do music for your job. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I'm leaning more towards, it sounds super corny, but like, and cheesy, but like just to connect with somebody who loves your music. Like that's the one thing that like sustainably satisfies an artist. Mm. Like at least me, I think is that human connection. And it's kind of like the point of art, I guess. Which hopefully is the point of the music business.
yeah.
Yeah. Good question. Awesome. Though.
Awesome. Jack Rutter, Rit Momney, thank you so much.
Thank you. Great. I really appreciate it. This was fun.
Totally. Take care. And once again, quick shout out to my partner, BandZoogle. You can design any website on BandZoogle, get 15% off and a 30-day free trial by using the code ARI. That's BandZoogle.com. Use the promo code ARI. All right.